to the offering is also singing How I Love You. That's why we do what we do. Okay, we love you, Jesus. Now, one of the things Jesus said before he left the planet, after the cross, he's resurrected from the dead, he's in his new body, and he's getting ready to go back to Father God and to sit on that throne in heaven, you alone who are worthy. He had something he had to say to the disciples. And that's what we're going to listen to today. What did he say to his disciples? And then expand that a little bit. Let's ask God to help us to hear what we should hear and to apply to our hearts and do his will. Let's pray. Father God, I thank you for each brother and sister, no matter what age they are, people who are exploring and trying to find out who is Jesus. We're here, and I know apart from you, Lord, I can do nothing. But Holy Spirit, feed us now with the very words of God. And it's in his name we pray. Amen. So Jesus, this is on the mountain of Galilee. We're not quite sure exactly which one. He gives the Great Commission. And just to remind us what the Great Commission says, and Jesus came and said to them on that mountain, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. I mean, everything. All the authority is mine. There's no other boss other than me. I'm the sovereign one. I'm the holy sovereign king. So go therefore. Now I want you to do something. Now this is why we call it the Great Commission. It's the big job you and I to do, boys and girls, moms and dads, as disciples of Christ. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and the Holy Spirit. Disciples of all nations. And one of the beautiful things about DBICC, we've got so many nations represented in this morning's worship service. Disciples of all nations, baptizing them. Now, that's where it kicks off, because you see, you get baptized, you get the water, when you have professed that Jesus Christ is your Lord. Yeah, I believe that he really died on that cross, that he is a real historical person who came to earth, and he came for a reason. That was to go to the cross so that he could make me a child of God, that he could give me the righteousness of God, and that he would take on himself my sin, my lack of love for God, my lack of love for God, my lack of love for other people, all that and expressions of thought, word, and deed that is sin. He died for that so he could give me all of his goodness. And when that dawns in your heart and it breaks into your spirit and you're born again, the first thing you should do is get wet, okay? Get baptized. Now, for the life of me, some people like to take this sacrament, the bread and wine. Now, there can be certain circumstances where your baptism has been postponed for one reason or another. I know there's a couple in our church, a few people who are waiting to be baptized. You're free to take of this table, but I do urge you, if you like to drink for this cup and eat this bread in remembrance of him, that's what baptism declares. You know, I'm doing the same thing. It's the water that's washed me clean, cleaned me up. God has saved me. So if you haven't been baptized and you'd like to be baptized, let me know. Okay, well, that's where it starts. Okay, boys and girls, go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I've commanded you, including this great commission. And behold, I'm with you always to the end of the age. And I hope this will come out clear. We don't do anything apart from Christ. And most important, we cannot make disciples who follow Christ apart from Christ. Disciple making is all about Christ working in us and through us. Okay, that's the Great Commission. And from there, we naturally ask, well, what does this disciple kind of look like, Jesus? You know, you have sometimes these TV programs, Makeover, and maybe a person's a little overweight like me or very, very overweight. And then they go through fitness tests and they do all this stuff and they lose about 500 pounds and then they get the nice clothes and put them on and they look really great. Well, what's this disciple, this follower of Christ supposed to look like? This makeover, this amazing makeover. Well, Lord, what kind of disciples should we be making? And it's good to ask him because he clearly says, Jesus clearly says a few things in his word. He says, this is what he told his disciples, my disciples abide in my words, they carry their cross, and they love one another. And these are the three topics we've gone over in the last few weeks. John 8 says, if you abide in my word, you're truly my disciples, and you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. You can be all that you were created to be a God reflector. When you stay in the Word of God, when you abide in the Word of God, when you are saturated by in the Word of God, you have your own private worship and you use the Word of God. You have family worship. You talk about the Word of God when you're hanging out with your friends. You go to small groups. You come to church. You try to share the Word of God with other people. I mean, you abide. Your life is in the Word of God. And you'll know the truth. And the truth will set you free. You'll be free to be what you're created to be. Okay. And Jesus said, whoever does not bear his own cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. And bearing that cross, that's hard. Because that means that we have to die to self. And we have to put it on the altar. And we have to do what God wants, you know. Yeah, put it all on the altar. All that that means, I can't preach another sermon today, but it's a big one. Last time, we looked at the new commandment, and this was coming through Dr. Peter Wong's prayer this morning. A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another, just as I have loved you. You also are to love one another. By this, all people will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another. Jesus is so clear on what his disciples are to look like. Bind his word, carry your cross, and look, love one another in this new way. New way. Well, remember the old love commandments? Last week we just looked over them. Matthew 22 says, teacher, which is the greatest commandment in the law, the great commandment in the law? And he said to him, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. You know, it's your total being. Yesterday in a men's group, we were talking about how some of our China brothers and sisters can put us to shame by this faith factor they have. They just love God with all their soul. And at the same time, we've been blessed by knowing how to love God with all our mind. But you can't be too heavy on the mind and lead out the soul, you know. Where does it all fit? What's your whole being, your heart, soul, and mind? There's a fine line sometimes between presumptuous faith and faith. And so you have to use your mind to see what God is saying, particularly when you're going through some sort of suffering. Well, this is the great and first commandment is what? Love God. Love God. And a second is like it, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. Does anybody remember last Sunday? How was the weather last Sunday? About the same, cloudy, you know, overcast. Well, we had some thunderstorms last Sunday. And my neighbor is Mark and Rochelle, and their little girl, Chanel, was having her fifth birthday party in Mui Wah on the beach. And Bonnie says, we're going. You've been preaching about going to love your neighbors and all this stuff. We're going. I said, no, we're not. It's going to rain. Yeah, we're going. So we went. And sure enough, it rained. We had umbrellas, and we're sitting under umbrellas. And everybody's, it's really a messy party. But the weather would break a little bit. Then we brought out the little princess cake, and we had a cake at the beach. And, you know, things went well. And I'm sure our neighbors knew we loved them and cared for them. They've expressed that before, and that's why they wanted us to go there. 50 people showed up, and they were expecting about another 100. Love your neighbor. And it might be even going to a little kid's birthday party in the rain. Okay. On these two commandments of loving God and loving your neighbor as yourself, on these two commandments depend all the law and the prophets. So you can reduce, you know, you can see, well, the Bible's fairly simple. I love people and I love God. Not in that order. I love God and I love people. Okay. But this new commandment, another commandment about love here is a hard one. You have heard that it was said, you shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I say to you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you, so that you may be sons of your Father who is in heaven. Boys and girls, do you got any enemies at school? People just don't like you? Front row boys and girls said, yeah. Nathan, no. Okay. I didn't think I had any enemies into DB until about a couple of months ago, and met one on the football pitch. And last week we were on the same team together. He scored 3, I scored 1, I assisted 2, and our team scored 6 goals. So we were pretty happy afterwards, and so I appreciate your praying. I think this guy and I are no longer enemies. But I want to present Christ to him fully. So whoever your neighbor is, whoever your enemy is, they still need to hear the gospel. And I might be the only one who can do that. So these old commandments, love God, love neighbors, love your enemies. But what's the new commandment, love one another? I mean, this is a lot of love stuff. Okay, what's all this? A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another just as I have loved you, you also are to love one another. By this all people will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another. So Jesus is talking to disciples now. He's talking to you and I as a community of faith. You know, people are going to know you're my disciple because of your love, not so much for them, which is important, but for what? Your love for each other. And so if our love for one another isn't different than the love that, say, a tennis club members have, if our love for one another is not different than the neighborhood friendliness, it's got to have a different character about it. And that's where we found out, as I have loved you means an anticipation, the hope of the glory of God. Heaven is our home. We sacrificially love our church family. We stick with them to the end. I don't like the preacher. I don't like the kids ministry, the worship team, so I'm going to go find myself another one. Today is consumer church, and it's not healthy for you or for us collectively. And that's why I press on this whole thing, become a member. Some of you I know are members, but you're not members. In other words, you haven't signed the dotted line. And some of you have some reasons, I understand that. But for the most of us, we should sign that line and say, yeah, I love Jesus and I love these people, and the world here in DB are going to know that I'm a Christian because I have love for these people. And that love includes forgiving love. So when I make a mistake, you make a mistake, we sin against each other, we still can talk to one another and forgive one another. It's that kind of love which will show DB and the world that we are Christians. So Jesus told his disciples, abide in his words, carry their cross, love one another. And today our focus is on produce much fruit. Jesus said, by this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit and so prove to be my disciples. Let's all read this together, boys and girls, moms and dads. Let's read this together one more time. By this my Father is glorified. Well, before we look at this and unpack it a little bit, I want to ask you a question. Okay. When you hear the word fruit, what's the first thing that comes to your mind? Okay, fruit, first thing, right? Well, you know what came to my mind? Fruit Loops. Were they always spelled F-R-O-O-T? They weren't, never was, that shows you how HDAD, whatever, I was when I was a kid, as an adult. But Fruit Loops. There's no fruit in that, you know, there's, okay. How about this one, frozen, assorted fruit flavored snacks. Nathan, you'd like those, wouldn't you? No, you know what you'd like? Yeah, cars. assorted fruit-flavored snacks. Oh, there's all kinds of things that got fruit flavors in them, and they're this faraway thing. Hello Kitty, fruit-flavored snacks. Kellogg's is really out to get us. Sips. Anybody know Sips? I don't know this brand. Where's that from? Anybody know Sips? Well, if you read the fine fruit-flavored drinks, you know, flavored. This is one I thought, I got this one just especially for you, Chris. This is, all you fruit-flavored beef jerky. And I think that maple leaf tells us where that's from. Wow, I've never heard of fruit-flavored beef jerky. Has anybody ate this? Okay. I was recently given some homemade beef jerky. It was delightful from the Philippines, a little bit of chili in it. It was nice. But fruit-flavored beef jerky.
That's for export.
That's for export. Okay. but this is what a real fruit stand looks like, you know. And sometimes if you can make it into Welcome or into Fusion before the masses hit the store in the morning, it's just so beautiful to see fresh fruit. And you just want to get a few of these blueberries, raspberries, and eat some of this stuff, right? It's why? Because real fruit is attractive, delicious, and healthy. Now, as we deal into this spiritual aspect, in Jesus' day, and when he's telling this story, we're going to see that it's probably grapes he had in mind. But again, attractive, delicious, and healthy. Think of that when you think of fruit in your life as I think of fruit in my life. Okay, Jesus said, "By this my Father is glorified that you bear how much fruit?" Much is much, you know. Hold all in Cantonese. Okay? Much fruit. And so prove to be my disciples. In context, we'll find this in John 15, 1 through 17, I am the true vine, this passage. If you have an electronic Bible or your Bible with you, you can turn to that. I'll flip up one slide at a time. I'm not going to exegete this passage and tell you about all the branches and the burning and all that kind of stuff and the vine dresser. I'll mention a little bit about him. But I just want you to see the context of which this much fruit is a mark of a disciple, where we find that, okay? And that's in this big paragraph about I am the true vine, John 15. And so verse 1 begins, I am the true vine. This is Jesus talking. I'm the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. How many of you grew up with grapevines? Anybody? Any vineyards? I'm looking. No hands? But I did. I was fortunate. And my Aunt Violet, on the old Buckner farm, we had grapes. And they didn't make wine out of these grapes. They made them for jams and some juice, grape juice. But they never fermented it, so I have no idea if it would make a wine or not. But you could see the vines and how they needed to be pruned and all that, and it's beautiful when they're fully green in the summer with fruit. But every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. That's the vine dresser, the Father. And every branch that does not bear fruit, he prunes. Every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes, that it may bear more fruit. So you got to prune these things. You got to cut them back. That's what prune means, boys and girls. You got to cut the little branch a little bit, and then it'll be more productive. And already you are clean because of the word that I have spoken to you. So you can see Jesus is making some kind of a picture here for us, a mental picture of these grapes growing on a vine, but it has to deal with his word. He wants us to do something, to produce something in our lives. And here we go. Abide in me. Now, we've heard that. Abide in my words. Now, abide in me and I in you. I live at Crestmont. The Caminada family lives down on the coastline. Will was in Jovial. I have no idea where he is tonight. You're in a hotel tonight. Yeah. So and then there's can, you know, we live in the, but you know, we are in Christ when we come to faith. We abide in him, and this is what he's saying. He's got to remind us, stay at home with me. Keep doing life with me. Abide in me and I in you. And as the branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine. So if you snap the grape branch off, tear it over here, it's not going to bear fruit. You're going to have to graft it into a vine. Neither can you unless you abide in me. That means no fruit if we don't abide in Christ. I am the vine. You are the branches. I'm the true vine. The Father is the vine dresser. And what are we? Branches. Okay. And whoever abides in me and I in him, he it is that bears much fruit. So this whole thing of abiding deals with this much fruit stuff, and that's going to be our focus. For apart from me, you can do nothing. I can't do anything. Not one thing. Oops, a little too fast. If anyone does not abide in me, he is thrown away like a branch and withers, and the branches are gathered and thrown into the fire and burned. But here's the emphasis. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you. Now, if the Word of God is living in me and active and powerful and sharp and all that stuff, and I'm really having my personal worship with God, I'm in his Word, I'm in these small groups, and I come and worship on Sunday, and we're in the Word of God, and you know, when I rise and when I sit and when I talk to my friends, the Word of God is just kind of there, you know, all this stuff. I will not be praying, God, would you please buy me a Maserati? I see one go by, I say, that's a cool car, I wouldn't mind having it. You know. Has anybody ever bought a lottery ticket? Don't raise your hand. All right. I have. And, you know, it's particularly the big ones, the $680 billion giveaway, you know. So not quite that much, but $600 million was a big one in the States last year, I think. And I bought a ticket, and I said, God, if you let me win this, you know, you're getting more than half of it. You know, it's. You don't pray like that, right? But when you see challenges, you know, how do we reach out and touch DB for Christ? How do we minister to our young teenagers at DBICC Church? How do we do worship, you know, and in a sense that we're not performing, but we're singing to him. Whatever we're doing, when we pray and we ask these things, God will help us. And if we're having problems loving one another, if we're having problems staying in the Word, we just ask God, and he will answer, and he will make us better lovers of one another. He'll make us people who have a heart and desire to get in the Word of God. This is what he's saying. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you. By this my Father is glorified, here's our verse, that you bear much fruit and so prove to be my disciples. And as the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Abide again. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love. Now here we go. If you want to know what abiding is, and the Word and Christ, you can't separate them. Let the Word of God drive you to Jesus and see him more. Talk to him more. Understand him more. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things I have spoken to you, that my joy may be in you, and that your joy may be full. It's at our concert of prayer, we concentrated on joy, and when you're abiding in Christ and you're keeping his commandments, abiding in his word, your life's not going to be miserable. And thinking, oh, I've got all this 35 things I got to do. No, it's life in the Spirit. You're no longer performing. You're responding to Christ's great love and a life of thanksgiving. There's a lot of difference. I'm not trying to earn God's love. I'm responding to it. and my life will be joyful. And this is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Greater love is no one than this, that someone lay down his life for his friends. You are my friends if you do what I command you. And I'm grateful that both Bonnie and Ruth have had an opportunity to lay down their life recently for me. Little things, but this is it. You know, put away their interests for me. Ruth needed a key to the house yesterday. She was at home and she didn't have the key to get in. And I said, well, I'm up in the office. I have to stay here at 4:30, and then I'm going down to the residence club. Hope to go work out. Can you meet me there? And she said, yeah. Well, that saved me a trip having to go all the way up to Crestmont, the other side, and then let her in, and then come all the way back. So she met me at the plaza, and she was thoughtful because she knew I was busy. Saturday's a crunch day. Well, this morning I ran out of the house. I didn't bring the power cord to the computer or my little box of coins. You know, I'm a cheerful giver, and I'm also like to show off sometimes. I dump my box and make a lot of noise, you know. I'm like a kid. But Bonnie got our mission box and the power cord after she discovered, once she was down the plaza, she forgot them. And at least I know the power cord, and you had to go way back home. Well, she went and got all the lettuce today, so we got this lovely lettuce for our salad. And all I'm trying to say is just little things. The people who have been helping, thank you so much. The Masdorp setting up the welcome table. The people who are helping set up for the church luncheon today, thank you. The people who come, I just jokingly said, Jesse, what time did you get here? 7 a.m. I have no idea, but he was here early to help with setup. These guys come about 8:30, I forget, and they're here. And then the worship team arrives at 9. Everybody's doing these things. Out of love. You're my friends if you do what I command. Okay, boys and girls, you go to school. All right, what are we going to do? We're going to make some good grades. Mom and dad, what are you going to do? I'm going to go to work. You're going to make some big money. That's the way the world is, right? And the world says, if you really want to have fun, you got to get into social media. Tweet. Facebook. Online gaming. Now, I'm not saying that school, work, online gaming, all those kinds of things are bad. But what I am saying, that if you wake up and your feet hit the floor, today I am going to love. Because I'm going to be a fruity Christian. I'm going to go out and love some of these people at work. Hey, can I help you with this project? Hey, I see something, you know, Roberto saw me yesterday, and here I am counting words on, you know, circling them. He says, James, you got an office, don't you? I said, yeah. I said, you know, it'll do the word count for you. Well, I knew it. It gives you the total document count. He said, no, just type in the word, and it'll tell you how many times that word is in your document. Okay. He loved me in a simple way. Today you're going to interact with people at the luncheon. You're going to have a chance to do what? Love. All right? Love. So guys, girls, when you go to school, don't just go get those grades. What are you going to go for? That's right. I'm going to go love those people. And particularly, some of them might be my enemies. Yeah, you meet more enemies in school, I think, than you will in your entire life. Well, it's hard to say. But you and I, in Christ, have this freedom to be all that we're created to be, created in God's image to reflect His glory, and that glory is one of unconditional love for other people. Okay, you are my friends if you do what I command you. You guys remember our song by Israel Houghton? Come on, Filipino girls, you sing it all the time. I am a friend of God. I am a friend of God. He calls me friend, you know. I can't sing. That's why I'm not on the worst team. But you know, I like the song, and everything that's in there is good, but it's half. It's not the whole truth. Because if you are a friend of God, you should be singing something like, I am a friend of God because he died on the cross for me. It's the only way I can become his friend is because he did the first step. While I was still a sinner, dead in my sins and transgressions, he died for me. And you know what? I am a friend of God because I do what he commands. You know, so maybe we can help Israel Houghton write a, you know, the second verse. More of the first, but, you know, let's balance it off. We're friends because of grace of God. We're in terrible shape. We need him to befriend us. And he has. And yeah, it is so precious to know that he is mindful of me. No problem is too great that I can't take to King Jesus. He is my friend. But you know what? He says, you know, if you're my friend, you are my friends if what? Let's all read that last white one. You are my friends. Okay, so next time we sing that, just remember, you're a friend of God, you're doing what he commands. Okay, all right. No longer do I call you servants, for the servant does not know what his master is doing. But I've called you friends, for all that I have heard from my Father I have made known to you. Jesus has told them who he is and what he has come to do, to go to the cross. Now, John's gospel is so beautiful because he spends so many chapters on that last few days. And that's where we are in all this discussion here. No longer do I call you servants, for the servant does not know what his master is doing, but I've called you friends, for all that I've heard from my Father I've made known to you. Everything about who Christ is, Jesus has shared with them. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you that you should go and bear fruit, and that your fruit should abide, so that whatever you ask the Father in my name, he may give it to you. And these things I command you, so that you will love one another. So I it's a promise you can take to the bank. It's a promise from God that if you want to know how to love people better, you just ask him and he'll show you. As I look and I see all the people in front of me, God will help me. As you look around and see different people here, God will help you. I thought it was interesting. The only two people, who are the only two people in the Old Testament known as friends of God? Father, Father, Father Abraham. Okay, what's the other one? Charlton Heston played him in a movie. That's for the old crew. You're not that old, Murray, but anyway. I'm going for Moses, okay? Those are the two. But now we're all friends. What, we're all friends, disciples, just those 12? No. We're all friends if we do what? If we keep his commandments, if we do what he commands. Okay, and these things he's commanded, that you'll love one another. Okay, context of John. Thank you for bearing with me, boys and girls. This is more of an adult-friendly sermon, but I am the true vine, says Jesus. My Father is the vine dresser. He's the one that makes sure that we're going to prune, and if it's not bearing fruit, I'm going to cut it off. Disciples are branches. That's you and I. And as long as we abide in Christ, stay in him, keep doing life with him, we're going to have a lot of much fruit. And by this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit, not a little bit, much fruit, and so prove to be my disciples. That word prove is sometimes it's translated and that you bear much fruit, and so and therefore be my disciples. It's kind of uses just the verb to be, but genomai in the Greek is actually saying you become, you've been made. Now, you and I are involved in this discipleship-making process. Remember what Christ said, you know, all authority in heaven and earth has been given to me, so that go forward and make disciples, but you know, I'm with you always to the end of there. So as we're making disciples, it's Christ doing the disciple-making through us. And so you're gonna. It's proof that Christ has been making you a disciple through the body of Christ, who are disciple makers, is this love. That's the proof. Okay. Much fruit involves love. Love involves laying down our lives, putting others first. We will only produce such love if we abide in Christ, the true vine, as we abide in his love, as we abide in his commandments. It's easy to say these words, but the rubber meets the road as we face a week of work. Are we going to abide in Christ? And we're going to go to work to love. We're going to go to be in our family. We're there to serve in love. We're in our neighborhoods to serve in love. We're in our schools to serve in love. If we're abiding in Christ, it will come. So today, Jesus is saying to you and I in DB, lay down your life for your DB and DBICC friends. Lay down your life for them. Live for them, that they may know Christ, and once they know him, to know him more. Make disciples. Remember that Great Commission? That's the big job. Yeah, we've got vocation. We've got a vocational calling. And you can't go around trying to talk to people about the Bible when you're supposed to be flying an airplane or handling financial transactions for your clients. But no, you can share with your colleagues over an after-work drink. You can go to lunch with your colleagues. You can arrange for a breakfast. You can go for a double date. You can have them over to your family for a meal. And one thing that excites me about the early church in Acts 2:42 is that they were what? They were dedicated to the apostles' teaching, to prayer, and to the breaking of bread. And I think that's basically home evangelism, where you just have people come over to your house and you eat and you share Christ. And I'm very encouraged. A few of you have told me that's the purpose of why you've even bought a bigger place, and you want to have more people in and share this love. So make disciples in DB. Make disciples. I'm convinced that's what Jesus is saying to you and I today. So why? Why do I want to lay down my life for my DB and DBICC friends? Why do I want to do that? And make disciples. Why do I want to do that? Well, we're commanded to. That's true. I won't dispute that one. But the whole thing is, by this my Father is glorified. What makes God more beautiful than to take a young person who didn't do anything but smoke pot and listen to rock music and read books about communism and Hinduism, who didn't listen to his mother who told him Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life, and then turn him in to an instrument to which he could send him to Hong Kong and learn Cantonese and work among grassroots churches, urban poor. And then in those golden years at DB, he gets glory from that. And your story, it starts the same way. If you could come up here and tell it, you'd tell me where you were and how it's all began and where you are now. And along that path, from birth till death, we have all this suffering in between. Well, that is going to cease. Because Christ is coming. And he's going to give a new heaven and a new earth. By this my Father is glorified. And at that point, when the new heaven and the new earth is here, you're going to see the glory that has come because you've borne much fruit and prove to be his disciple. Yeah, so I have to ask myself, I had the you there, but the we is kind of a first-person pronoun focus, okay? Am I producing much fruit? Am I making disciples? And where's the proof? Where's the proof? I can't remember what the next slide is. I think I'm supposed to pray now. Yeah. Let's pray. Father, I thank you for the boys and girls. They've been so patient and kind and quiet through this longer message. And they were first called Christians at Antioch. Little Christ. Lord Jesus, forgive me. Oh, forgive me for not abiding in you as I should. For not staying in your words and really being saturated in your commands and delighting in them. And yeah, I can say I'm doing better than I did last week or whatever, but it's still not enough. And we know we can never do that, but you, Lord Jesus, are the one who did only what Father God told him to do, and you abide in his love to the point where it did not matter even to have to take on sin of the world. You, the Holy One, becoming the ugly one, the unrighteous, so we could become righteous. So, Lord Jesus, we want to thank you so much for your grace in our lives. We don't know much about making disciples, but you know everything about it, and you promised never to leave us. And so I pray for myself and the leadership of this church, everyone who's involved in small groups or who are being moved by the Holy Spirit to think of, well, how could we start some other new group? Lord, we thank you. We don't have to make disciples by ourselves, and actually we cannot do it by ourselves. So keep us abiding and make us fruity Christians. It's in Christ's name we pray. Amen. One of the ways we abide in Christ and celebrate him is at this table. We have the bread and the wine. And Christ says, before you come and have a communion time like this, Paul advises in 1 Corinthians 11 that we should check ourselves, okay? And look at us. We're just one family, right? There's no one any better. I'm a disciple maker with 5 stars. These guys don't even have a bullet point yet, you know? No. We're one family celebrating what Christ has done for us. Now, perhaps you need to do some talking about your own heart. Maybe there's some sin that you have done with your words, with your mouth. Maybe there's some sin up here in your head. Maybe you've done something that needs to be talked to God about and confess that. That is also a way we want to come to this table confessed up. And the Word of God tells us that if you confess your sins, he's good and he's holy and righteous and cleanses from all unrighteousness, even the things we're not even really aware of that are sinful. So beware, we're all one body, we care for each other. And secondly, any personal things. There's a third way you can come to this table unworthy, in an unworthy manner, and that's if you think there's another way to relate to God other than just Jesus. There's not. So let's pray and prepare our hearts for this communion. Father God, we thank you that the Lord Jesus, on that first night, gave us something to do for all the ages that there is a church. So all the churches in Hong Kong that are around the world and through all the history and the ages have taken bread and have taken wine and a cup to remember you. You hear the prayers from the hearts of your people. We confess pride. We confess not loving as we should, not abiding as we should. So thank you, Lord. Thank you for hearing our prayers. And it's only to Christ we know we receive forgiveness. And it's in his matchless name we pray. Amen. Could I ask the elders to come down? And we'll prepare for communion. On the night that Jesus was betrayed, he took the bread and he broke it. And he said, "This is my body given for you." Well, you guys are hungry, huh? We'll have a church luncheon afterwards. Okay. Like throw him a burrow. No. Oh, what a scene, though. May we be so spiritually eager. This is what it's all about. We got to be reminded because we forget. Do this in remembrance of me. Why? Because you forget. I got to command you to abide in me because you forget. Okay, the bread. His body was given for you, for us. Eat in remembrance of me. This is not our bread just to play with, guys. Okay. And when you get older, you will understand. Oh, here's the cup. In the same way, he took the cup and he said, "This is my blood of the new covenant, poured out for the remission of the sins, of your sins. And you drink this in remembrance of me." And so whenever we eat or drink from this cup, we proclaim his death until he returns. We're all in. Our life, eternal life, our life now, is based on Jesus and what he's done. Jesus is enough. So if you believe that, we welcome you to this table. Come celebrate the living Christ. Our custom is that we will invite you, the audience, to come down, brothers and sisters, to come down and take the elements here. The school doesn't like us to pass them around in the seating area. Here you go, guys. Yeah. And so there'll be two lines. You can go front or back of the elders, and they will serve you the cup and the bread. Okay.